Serving New York State and Southern Ontario, you're listening to WDCX FM Buffalo, WDCX HD1 Buffalo, and WDCZ AM Buffalo. WDCX AM Rochester and WDCX HD1 Rochester.
Welcome to Neil Boron Live. Real talk that gets to the heart of the matter and music that inspires. NBL is the place for information, motivation, and encouragement. So drop the mask, pick up the phone, and get ready to join the conversation at 1-800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And now, here's Neil Boron, live.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to NBL, a Wednesday edition here on WDCX. Wednesday is the day we want to put the spotlight on what Christ is doing in and through His church. And so over the last couple of years, we've brought in pastors and ministry leaders and even authors and local community leaders to help tell the story of what Jesus has done and bringing them to faith in Christ and what He's doing and has been doing recently in the lives of people in and through their ministries. And why do we do this? Because we encourage people who are listening to put their faith and trust in Christ. And you know who you are. You're going through financial stuff, emotional stuff, relational stuff. You got all kinds of stuff going on in your life. And you're wondering, can Jesus be trusted? Well, the story helps confirm the reality that, yes, He can be trusted, because we want people to know that Jesus is real and He is active and alive in His church. And I think we're going to underscore that in a powerful way today in our conversation with Terry King of Saving Grace Ministries, Dave Buds of an organization called Op Overwatch. By the way, he's a federal law enforcement agent. You know, all the stuff that's happened over the summer with tension running high between African-American individuals, law enforcement, the George Floyd incident, the Breonna Taylor verdict, all these things have caused tension. And there are many people who know folks on both sides of that equation. They have friends that are members of the African-American community. They have people that are personal friends or even sometimes family members that are involved in law enforcement and concerned about the media and others painting law enforcement with a broad brush or making, you know, rash claims about those who say that Black Lives Matter. So where does that leave us? And it's a real difficult question to deal with. We're going to actually dive into that today with Terry King and Dave Buds. Our own general manager, Brett Larson, is here. We're going to talk with a member of law enforcement, a man who has an amazing story. He was shot by somebody in the midst of a crime. He has a fascinating story. He should have died, actually, but has an amazing testimony to share. We're going to get into all of that. We're even going to speak with a local pastor who's been moved to deal with this in a very big way. And so I hope you can be a part of the conversation with us. Before we even get to that, I just have to share something from yesterday's program. I got an email overnight that came in at 3:55 a.m. Wow. Yesterday we were talking about how to be pro-life means to be more than just about the unborn, but about every human life. And so we had representatives from a group called Every Child in studio, and we were talking about adoption and foster care. And I want to set the stage for today's conversation by, again, asking the question, is Jesus alive and well? Is God working in and through His church? Well, judge for yourself, because there was a woman listening to yesterday's conversation about the value of all human beings and the need for the church and the body of Christ to show love and respect to all children, especially those that are orphans and seeking a home. Here's the email. It said, I wanted to share something remarkable that happened today while I was driving. I live about an hour and a half from Toronto in Canada, and I had to drive there for an errand. Well, in the past few weeks, I've been feeling stirred to take steps toward becoming an adoptive parent for a second time. I realized that I've been clicking the profile of the same special little girl for 2 years. This morning, I called her clinical director to find out a bit more, and she said that if I was interested, I could fill out a prospective parent application. I decided to drive to Toronto alone so I could think and pray about it. My usual radio station, CBC 98.7 FM, goes to static just above the Great Lakes, so I absentmindedly turned the dial. I heard someone say, if God has been moving your heart towards adoption, it's time to listen. I'm paraphrasing, but I was floored, she said. The email goes on, I spent the rest of the drive openly weeping as I heard prayerful confirmation of what God had laid on my heart and the voices of adoptees, parents, and advocates. I've never heard of your radio station. I don't normally listen to Christian radio. I called my family and told them what had happened, and we all agreed to listen to the leading of the Spirit. Thank you for this episode today and for your ministry. I stayed up late submitting my application, and now I'm going to sleep with gratitude for a God who loves and cares for orphans. I'm filled with the peace and conviction that God's plans for us are better than we could ask or imagine. Bless you. So thank you, Shannon, for that email and for the encouragement. But the point is, God is working, He is speaking to hearts, and He is moving in miraculous ways. And I believe that's the very nature of what we're going to talk about today, and how God has been showing some local ministers and community leaders how we can find common ground on both sides of the Black Lives Matter / law enforcement equation. So, Heavenly Father, we're praying that the power of your Holy Spirit would come and minister to us in the midst of this conversation. It's going to get sticky, I think, at various times. And yet we believe that you have an answer for us. You haven't left us here on this planet with nothing to do and nowhere to go and no information to get us through the circumstances we find ourselves in. I believe you want your church actively involved in bringing the light and hope of Christ to those who are in very difficult situations. And Lord, there are some very polarizing things going on in our world today. How can we best represent you in the midst of this? Thank you for what you are doing in your church. And Lord, we're going to put the focus on you today. We want the spotlight to be on you and what you can accomplish when people are willing to meet at the foot of the cross. So speak through Pastor Terry King and Pastor Jerry Gillis and Officer Steve, who we're going to meet a little bit later on, and Dave Buds of Op Overwatch and Brett Larson, the general manager at WDCX. Lord, meet us here. We're gathering in your name. By the power of your Holy Spirit, come and transform us by your presence in the midst of this conversation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to get to it in just a moment. NBL continues with a conversation here. Terry King in studio, we'll get to him first. Brett Larson's here as well. We'll meet Dave Buds and Officer Steve and everyone else who's a part of this conversation.
Mess up again? Don't worry. It's Worship Wednesday.
And Worship Wednesday is the day that we want the spotlight to be on Jesus. So let's talk about what he's been up to lately. And I want to welcome back a good friend here, Terry King of Saving Grace Ministries, who has an amazing story. And also our general manager, Brett Larson, who came down the hall from...
The long walk.
Yeah, when we go down the hall, it's like the walk of shame. Uh-oh, yeah. I got to go in the boss's office. That's how it is. Hey, thanks for being with us. You're on the board at Op Overwatch, and we're going to talk about that organization today. So I didn't realize how well you knew Terry King. I knew that you knew him.
Yeah.
But Terry's the president of Op Overwatch.
Board chair.
Board chair.
He's our chairman.
Yeah. All right. And of course.
He's got that unfortunate job. No one ever wants to be the chairman of the board.
Yeah.
But Terry's such a gracious servant that we appointed him, elected him, and coerced him.
So describe Op Overwatch. Well, you know what? Let's have Dave Buds do it.
Dave do it.
Because Dave is the founder of Op Overwatch. And he's a federal agent, joins us here live on the line. And by the way, Steve Ritchie, Officer Steve, we're going to be getting to you a little bit later, so sit tight. But Dave Buds, welcome via telephone to the conversation. How are you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you? Hi, Terry. Hi, Brett.
Hey, how about you, sir?
This is kind of fun to get all you guys together, and we're going to hear some miraculous stuff and amazing stuff that God's been doing. But, you know, this kind of involves the tension that has existed now really for decades, but was highlighted this summer by the George Floyd incident, his death, many calling it a murder of George Floyd, and all the tension between Black Lives Matter and law enforcement and that whole thing, and there are well-meaning, Bible-believing Christians and Americans that are right in the middle of that equation because they have friends or family members that are law enforcement. They have friends or family members that are African-American, and they're saying, okay, what am I supposed to do here? Because these two sides seem to be diametrically opposed. We're going to talk about that in a second, but for the sake of the conversation, Dave, help us understand what Op Overwatch is. You're a federal law enforcement agent. You run a ministry called Op Overwatch. What is it?
Well, there's no more perfect time for it, so I'm more than happy to talk about it, because we all know when you look at the time that Jesus stepped upon this earth, he entered into tension. I'm right into the midst of historic tension, and he's doing that throughout Overwatch. He's put us in a position where through his word, through his work, through his guidance, we can step right in to the midst of possibly one of the most tense times in American history. And the way that we want to do that, this all began with the burden of officer suicide. It's the suicide crisis is statistically real and significant in law enforcement. There's a lot of reasons for that. If you join our mission, we'd gladly share with you some of the many reasons we believe now more than ever that suicide is such a crisis in law enforcement. But we step into this officer wellness picture with a faith-based biblical approach to officer wellness. Not that there's anything wrong with the other approaches. There's a lot of them. But we know that the true fix in all this is a relationship mm-hmm. with Jesus Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's where we come in. Op Overwatch is made up of hundreds of law enforcement officers and chaplains. We continually grow weekly with new men of faith in law enforcement and chaplaincy joining us. And we're designed around really four basic ways that we will function in order to bring the gospel to all law enforcement. And that's edification within the ministry, mm-hmm. Those who name the name of Christ, the building up of the church within the ministry itself, within our leadership, benevolence to the community, outreach, evangelical events to the community that are attractive, that develop peer relationships, social growth amongst law enforcement, amongst chaplains, and carry with it a very important message that we need to make sure law enforcement's hearing. And then the final thing is training, which will become a five-day-a-week activity that we'll be doing various ways that we train, all the way from marriage counseling to, you're going to hear from Steve Ritchie, post-shooting incidents and dealing with all that. We're going to be able to offer that up to law enforcement throughout Western New York. And the final thing to all this, the amazing bomb to explode all this and make it just grow like a wildfire is within the last 2 months, our Lord has moved mightily, and he has given us an 18,000-square-foot building at the cost of $0 that we are now – I'm actually sitting here dirty and sweaty, and we're in the midst of remodeling that building within the inside of it to make it work with everything that we want to do to bring the gospel to law enforcement.
Wow. Right there. I mean, we could stop and just talk about the miracles God's performing in bringing this whole thing together.
Amen.
What's interesting is that the chairman of your board, Reverend Terry King, who's a pastor and the founder of Saving Grace Ministries, found himself at one point on the wrong end of the law, went to prison and met Jesus there, transformed his life, and spends an awful lot of time dealing with offenders and parolees. And that brings an interesting perspective here because, Dave, while you're primarily working with law enforcement, Terry has traditionally worked with those who break the law and have paid for it and are trying to transition back into society. So let me have you comment on that briefly, if you don't mind, Terry, because here you are now also serving on the board of a law enforcement organization. So that's a unique position to be in, and it proves that God is at work. But your thoughts about that?
Well, I do. Grateful for this opportunity. And our God is a God of redemption. And I think my life can be summed up in that says, when you surrender your life to Jesus and you surrender it all, he will redeem your life and give you new life. And today I walk in the privilege of that new life and the love of Christ to know and understand that each day I serve Jesus is to serve the needs of others. And to walk with Op Overwatch and to have the respect of the law enforcement community and friendship and partnership is beyond words for me, because I was that man that was left alone and astray in prison, and the Lord touched me. And to work with ex-offenders and offenders to guide them to meaningful life and to an opportunity to find their place in our society, when they often come out labeled and ostracized in a community that sometimes doesn't really understand how to accept them back, is just a privilege to serve them and to watch the success that Saving Grace has had over the years. And so from that lens, having built relationship with the law enforcement community, having served the parolee community and those coming out of from incarceration, as the events of our culture in America unfolded in early 2020, I found myself really in that midst of that tension. Oftentimes reaching out to colleagues in faith and leaders to say, what are we doing here? What role does God have us? Because we had parolees and others that were adamant that somehow we were to take a stand one side or the other. And I'm sitting there saying, I love you both, but this isn't about a stand. This is about how do I love and where do we love at and from what perspective? And a local pastor friend of mine, Pastor Jerry, he and I were in conversation over and over in early 2020 about where would the Lord have us and some of that tension that we were personally experiencing. And, you know, just some of the not just attacks, but, you know, confrontation from people that we know intimately on both sides who were almost demanding that we take this public stand. And what we agreed and what Jerry and I often had said was that we need to be at the foot of the cross, that this all comes out of love at the foot of the cross. And we found ourselves probably in June understanding that, but not realizing exactly where the Lord was going to take us at the foot of the cross too.
Now, Pastor Jerry is going to join us a little bit later, so we'll get his perspective on this. But you had been thinking about these things. You were in a very similar position to him in leadership. We feel it here at WDCX, too, because sometimes there are issues that come up that might look different depending on which side of the border you're on, U.S. or Canada, or, you know, those who are involved in church ministries that are either charismatic or non-charismatic, or African-American or Caucasian. And, you know, it's... we don't want to be wishy-washy. We want to stand for truth and righteousness. We want to support the gospel of Jesus Christ and lift up the name of Christ. But sometimes there are people on the side, on each side of an equation saying, if you love Jesus, you'll support me. And someone else says, if you love Jesus, you'll support me. And you're standing there in the middle going, Lord, exactly what is it you're saying in this situation? So these kind of things are not unusual. We've run into them before. But Brett, let me ask you, you serve on the board of Op Overwatch. I know that there was a time in your life where you had hoped to be in law enforcement. God had other plans. He brought you here to be my boss and to give me frequent raises, hopefully. But I just want you to comment because obviously you have your own perspective on this. You've had an opportunity to, you know, Dave Buds well, you know, Terry King well.
Right.
You're a believer in Jesus, and you love the Lord, and here we are now with an opportunity to talk about this. It's not easy. These are prickly issues.
They really are, and you're right. I have a burden for law enforcement. I just love people. I love helping people. My grandfather was a Buffalo cop, so I have that in my heart. But the Lord has, you know, put a mark on me for a certain type of ministry from when I was in college and had directed my path that way. But I still have that heart for law enforcement. But, you know, Neil, it's funny. We talk about... you mentioned that people want, you know, you to align with them on this issue, because if you love Jesus, you'll do this. And if you love Jesus, you'll do this. Well, you know, thank God he actually told us what he thinks in scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's,
Amen.
He's given us how to think. And one of the issues, and I beat on this drum lately, and if you've heard Scopos or anything else, I'm continually beating on this drum, is that we have a real discipleship problem in America where we do not have believers who understand or who live out biblical literacy in their worldview. And it's funny, like when you dive into God's word, and when you're someone who's walking daily in God's word and walking with brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord shapes your worldview. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to listen to, well, if you you love Jesus, you'll listen to me. No, if I love Jesus, I'm going to follow his word. And what that tells us is that we don't need to abandon our philosophical understandings of government or policy or even party or anything. We don't have to run from that. But we do have to hold that in a way that is subservient to the gospel. The gospel is the priority. And that's what I love about Op Overwatch. I love about Dave and why I don't serve on boards. I don't like boards. I've been on way too many of them. And they're just a lot. And I don't have the time or the effort. So Dave will tell you this. When Dave first called me and to serve on the board, and we've known each other quite a while, I was kind of like, no, I just don't want to do boards. But the God began to work on my heart for this ministry. It is so special. And to know that Dave both founded it and would be the executive director that our board would be working with, right. Man, that was special, because the gospel is the center. Dave's not, Op Overwatch didn't start to tout and sing the praises of law enforcement. It was there to support law enforcement, but only as a method for the gospel. Like, the gospel is the center, and that to me is the solution for everything, which we'll hear today.
All right, and so we will hear more about what was stirring in Pastor Jerry Gillis's heart as pastor of the chapel at Crosspoint. But Terry, just real quick, we're going to throw it back to Dave here, but you were thinking about these things as well, because you have friends on both sides of the equation. You're a ministry leader in our area, wondering what God was saying to you. You had conversation of some kind with Jerry at some point and decided to reach out to Dave. Can you just describe that process for a minute? Because all of a sudden, Dave was all in.
I think it was towards the third week of June. Jerry had called me late on a Sunday evening, and he had really a move of the Spirit. God had told him while he was in service on Sunday to call me.
Mm-hmm.
And
while he was in the service?
While he was in the service, and he said it, he wrestled with what that really meant. And the Lord had spoke to him a word to say, talk to Terry and consider having parolees that he houses and works with to meet with law enforcement, because Jerry knew that I was serving with Op Overwatch, mm-hmm. and had a relationship with David Buds. And Jerry really didn't know what that meant. He didn't even know if it could happen. But he said, what if parolees would gather in a room and pray with law enforcement? And he said, that's what I'm asked to communicate to you. And when I hung up, my heart was heavy, like, oh my, what can we do here? Mm-hmm. And I trusted, because of knowing Jerry and the personal relationship we have, that this was something of the Lord, and it was not to be ignored, and nor should I dismiss it, but I had to walk this out. And I remember Monday morning, that Monday.
Wait, are parolees allowed to meet with law enforcement?
No, that was the challenge in my spirit, was how are we going to deal with this? Because it's a condition of parole that you can't fraternize with, meet with, and socialize with law enforcement, or a violation, and it's subject to parole revocation. And so for the men and
okay.
women that we
but
house
But that's
and
what God
serve,
told them to ask you.
We have a problem here.
Yeah. They're not allowed.
Yeah.
And so the mere mention of you're going to meet with a law enforcement officer, mm-hmm. parolees are shutting down. They're right. running. They're not going to meet. And they understand the ramifications. And so here I find myself calling the regional director of parole on Monday, saying, look, in the midst of all of this tension and news reports, I have an ask. And I'd like you to consider allowing us, and I will be present, to have parolees in our program meet with law enforcement officers. And I waited, like, okay, no. And I heard a, Reverend, that is amazing. I have to reach out to those in Albany. Give me 24 hours. And the very next day I got the call before noon. And he said, if you agree to be there, and it's with Op Overwatch, the group you described, we're going to allow the men of Grace House and the women that choose to come to participate.
Ex-offenders.
Offenders on parole.
Offenders on parole.
On
okay.
parole, and some recently released from long-term 30, 35-year sentences to meet with the law enforcement officers to pray.
Come on.
I hung up the phone, and I was
wow.
brought to tears, because never in my lifetime mm-hmm. had that occurred. And so the next call was to my friend Dave,
mm-hmm.
to say, Dave, we have an opportunity.
All right, Dave, obviously you said we're all in, but describe what was going on at your end, because this is nothing short of miraculous.
No, I actually told Terry we don't have time for that. No, just yeah, kidding.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, what sold me right away, not only the respect, you know, and knowledge I have of Terry and his plans always being gospel saturated, was that this room, there were two elements to this that I thought, okay, this is something Op Overwatch definitely needs to be involved with. Number one was these parolees. These are Saul's become Paul. That's the men that we're dealing with here. These are men who are in the grace houses, who are Saul's become Paul's, that are trying to bring the gospel to the rest of the grace house, mm-hmm. to the rest of the felons, the parolees that are in there. So that, I mean, imagine the electricity that can run through their veins after they've spent time praying with other believing law enforcement and taking that encouragement back with them. But then the other thing, above all things, was that these meetings would be saturated in the Word of God. So those two elements of this, it's a no-brainer that this is something that the Lord would use to make a difference in. And we've literally only scratched a millimeter deep in what could be something as deep as the ocean, what this could turn into.
Sure.
I think the perfect transition right now, because I really don't have a right to speak on this much more, because there's been two leaders in Op Overwatch who have taken the lead of these meetings. One of them is a former Syracuse PD, not Syracuse, Onondaga County Sheriff Officer, Mark Techmansky. He drives from Syracuse. Every time we do this, he drives 2 hours to this, and he leads it. And then the other one is Steve Ritchie, who's on the other line, and I think that he's earned the right to talk the rest about this.
Okay. Well, we're going to keep you involved here, and I hope you can stay around, and we'll meet Officer Steve Ritchie in just a moment. But let me ask you one last question before we go to break and we continue after that. You know, Terry calls you. He says that the state has approved something that's virtually impossible otherwise. If God hadn't been involved, there's no way this is going to happen. Offenders, felons, parolees are going to be meeting with officers. Did it ever occur to you as a member of law enforcement, a federal agent, that it's possible that somebody in that room, whenever this meeting occurs, could be somebody that at some point you were pursuing? Like, because I don't think any list was provided of who's coming. Isn't it possible that there could be law enforcement in the same room with people that they either had to arrest or got shot by or whatever? I mean, I'm just curious what was going on in your mind just as a human being thinking about what God was setting up here.
You know, I actually never thought about that, Neil. But it is interesting that you bring that up, because in our Bible studies in Op Overwatch, we have law enforcement sitting around the table. And that is something that's come up as we've talked about this. We have men that aren't quite ready, actually, to attend something like this, because they haven't reached that point yet. Mm-hmm. Where something's holding them back, and we've talked a lot about it. We've talked about, it's very similar to when Saul was introduced as Paul to the disciples, mm-hmm. and they were very hesitant to get in a room with him, mm-hmm. knowing that he had been involved in possibly the killing of people that they know closely.
Right.
So they needed an intercessor to kind of step in the middle there and kind of say that, hey, Paul's okay, he's one of us. And that's the role that Steve Ritchie and Mark Techmansky have served in this. These guys, they've spent now two different times with these parolees, and they've become close with them. They've become the intercessor to say that, guys, it's okay. You can come into this room and meet with these guys. Trust me, the reward is much, much greater than your apprehension.
Wow. This is getting really good. Don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. Dave Buds is with Op Overwatch. He's a federal law enforcement agent and works with other members of law enforcement. Terry King of Saving Grace Ministries and chair of the board of Op Overwatch has been on the other side of the law, actually did time and came to Christ in prison. He represents parolees and offenders, and this is getting really good, what God has in store. We're going to meet Officer Steve Ritchie in just a moment.
Can't fix yesterday, tomorrow may never come. So lock it down and start looking up. It's Worship Wednesday on WDCX.
Worship Wednesdays are the day we get vertical and, in our conversation portion, put the spotlight on what Jesus is doing in and through his church. And there's no question to me in the midst of today's conversation that God has been at work speaking to hearts, because he's wanting to provide answers to really difficult situations. The world is looking for answers to this stuff. God is providing them through his church. And Terry King of Saving Grace Ministries, the chair of the board at Op Overwatch, in studio with us, our general manager Brett Larson's here as well. And Dave Buds, who is the founder of Op Overwatch and ministry to members of law enforcement. Now we're going to bring in somebody who also is involved in law enforcement and has played a key role, kind of the intermediary between those who have offended and those who've attempt to have them arrested, or you know, this tension between law enforcement and criminals. And Steve Ritchie been involved in helping to ease through that process. He's a believer in Jesus Christ and has an amazing story. But Officer Steve, welcome to NBL, and thanks for your patience. I know you've been hanging on for 38 minutes and 19 seconds, but who's counting here?
So, thanks.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
Well, okay, so tell us about your role in this, and then we'll hear a little bit about your story specifically, but how did you get connected to Op Overwatch, and what was your first impression when you heard about the possibility of being face-to-face with parolees and offenders?
Well, I first met Dave Buds back in 2013. I was in a Bible study with him. For some other personal reason, sort of got disconnected from that Bible group. And then on the anniversary date of this year, in February of the shooting, of my shooting, we're having a little celebration. The group I sit with in the chapel, we're having a little celebration of the miracle I received from Christ. And Dave was in the little cafe area also. So as we both were leaving from our groups, we both were leaving at the same time. So we sort of reconnected, and Dave talked about the Bible study group again that he was having, but he also talked about Op Overwatch and, you know, told me a little bit about it, said to think about it. So from that point, I went to the next Bible study, and it was game on from that point on. It this was, for me personally, this is 17 years in the waiting. From the miracle I received back in 2003,
right.
I just been wondering, why, God, why did you save me? What? Why did you give me these miracles? What do you want me to do? And now I found out. Now he's revealing it to me, so it's full bore for me.
Okay, and I want to remind anybody listening that God is in the miracle-working business. You're in a situation that you think looks impossible. You think that there's no way God could intervene, no way God could come through, that the situation you're facing is hopeless. I want you to listen for the next couple minutes, because Steve Ritchie, if you don't mind, you were a police officer who was shot. The story of how you're even here today to talk about it is miraculous. Can you tell us what happened?
Well, this is back in February 2003. I was a police officer in the city of Lockport. There was a shooting earlier in the night outside a local bar. A gentleman, young man with an AK-47, shot the new boyfriend of his ex-girlfriend. Did not kill him, but shot him and sent him to the hospital, and also shot several rounds into a local bar. So we were trying to find him throughout the night. We finally caught up with him at a trailer park in the city, in the town of Lockport. And during this confrontation, he began, we were in our vehicles. There were three police cars there, myself, two other officers, Captain Eggert, Lieutenant Seekins, and Officer Stober. So we were sort of blocking the exit of this trailer park, and he was coming at us straight on with his car, and he started shooting through his windshield and shot Captain Eggert first when he was bailing out of his car. And was, at this point, he was coming straight at me and was firing into my car. So the first round that came through my car, and for me, it was sort of like in a slow motion thing, because you don't know, okay, do I bail out? Do I not bail out? But the first shot that came through struck me in the face. I went through my windshield, struck me in the face. So I laid across the seat, and he just continued to fire rounds into my vehicle and crashed head-on into me. At that point, I felt like, okay, I got to get out of this car. I'm a sitting duck in here, and I'm going to find some other cover to go to. I'm going to fire my gun into his car while I'm running. As I got out of the car and stood up, he fired another shot into me, which ended up going into my chest, spun me around. At that point, I'm just like, my gun went flying out of my hand. I just needed to find some cover. So I was running to the nearest next police car. I didn't make it because the shot that went through my chest punctured my lung. My lungs had collapsed. I couldn't catch my breath. And I ended up collapsing on the ground. As I was laying on the ground, he got out of his car and just continued to fire at me, along with Officer Seekins, who was engaging him with some crossfire. And as he fired at me, he shot me in both my legs. So 3 days later, I wake up in the hospital. My right arm is paralyzed. Shot that went through my chest, severed nerves along my spine. My right arm was paralyzed. My right leg was almost blown off. It was reconstructed. And my left leg was also broken. And in addition to that, my jaw was broken. So there's 5 weeks spent in the hospital. But during that time, the doctor said, okay, what would you like to do now with your life? And I'm like, well, I want to go back to work. And there was that look like, oh, okay, do they have light duty? I'm like, what do you mean light duty? No, I want to go back to work. I'm not doing light duty. And their reality came like, well, we've got some news for you. Your arm's not coming back. Your right arm's going to be paralyzed. It's not going to come back. You're not going to be able to run on that leg anymore. You might be able to do a little jogging, but you're not going to be running any marathons or whatever. And it struck me in the hospital, and it really struck me. And that night, I prayed to Christ, and I said, Jesus, I said, this is in your hands, and I'll tell you, I'll make a deal with you. You heal me. You heal my arm. You heal my leg enough to get back to work, and I will go back to work. If it doesn't happen, I'm okay with it. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I'm just asking you, if you do heal me, I will go back to work. And despite all the doctor's opinions, I got back to work. So my right arm came back. Not 100%, but it's about 80%. 3 years after the shooting, I actually ran a 5K race. Those are some miracles. And also on that evening, I also had to be resuscitated a number of times. So there was not much hope that I was actually going to survive. What the doctors told me later on, like, oh, boy, you know, we were really not expecting you to make it. But
when you say you needed to be resuscitated, meaning you flatlined during this experience?
I flatlined four times that night, at least four times.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We're talking to a miracle right now, ladies and gentlemen. Wow.
Amen.
Okay, so God clearly spared your life for a reason. And when you got connected with Op Overwatch, it began to become more clear to you how God might use this? Like, and by the way, you were going to have to be in front of offenders, the kind of people who do these things. And by the way, I'm not saying law enforcement gets off scot-free, because there are people in law enforcement sometimes who are involved in criminal activity or whatever, and it needs to be rooted out. But my point is that in this particular case, you're being asked as a member of law enforcement to meet with the kind of people that did this to you. So what was going through your head at that point?
Well, Dave had brought it up at a Bible study that we were at and said, hey, there's Pastor Terry King, Saving Grace, had organized this parolee Bible study, and he wants law enforcement to join up. And Holy Spirit was whispering in my ear, you're going. And I said, I'm going. So I told Dave, I'm in. And wow. There was some apprehension a little bit. It's like, okay, what kind of parolees are going to be here? I knew they were going to be some ones that were in prison for a long time, not knowing exactly what I thought. Oh, we're going to have some sex offenders, some burglars, some, you know, maybe people who committed some armed robberies, but right. not knowing exactly
right.
what type of offenders were going to be there.
Okay, before we talk about that, let me just clarify, and we're going to take a break and continue in a moment. But you literally, in a sense, died four times because you had to be resuscitated. Did God make good on did he answer your prayer, or did you ever officially return to work?
Oh, yes, I got back to work. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 years later, I did make it back to work, and I worked another 10 years. So I do deal with PTSD, which is what caused me to retire, because I didn't really want to retire, but I'm okay with it. You know, I just have some nightmares and stuff like that. But again, I pray through the night, and I get through it. And,
understandably.
I deal with it. Yeah. I deal with it, you know. So
God is able. This is incredible. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment. Hang on, there's way more to come here on NBL. So this meeting actually happened. Members of law enforcement got together with parolees, and I think it's probably the first of one or many to come. We're going to talk more about it as NBL continues. And by the way, there's a website being set up. There's a media campaign that's going to go along with some of this stuff. It's amazing what God is doing, so stick around. We'll talk about it after this.
It's Worship Wednesday, a day to remember that the one who can calm a raging sea is the one whose voice you hear gently whispering, trust me.
The child inside, we left for growing old.
Let's get back to it here. And a miraculous story we're listening to. You know, when we do these spotlight conversations on Wednesdays, we say, Lord, reveal yourself, reveal your power, reveal your ability to meet us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves. Because some of you listening aren't involved in law enforcement, but you may be in an impossible situation with a tenant or a landlord or a boss or a neighbor or a family member that, you know, that it just seems like there's impossible. There's no way that this thing could ever be resolved for God's glory. Well, the tension that exists between people who were talking about Black Lives Matter this summer, you know, with rioting in the streets and other things happening, and law enforcement who were coming under fire because of the George Floyd incident and being painted with a broad brush, you know, well, all law enforcement's bad. We need to defund the police. I heard one person say defund police and eliminate prisons. And I mean, it was amazing conversations happening, but real tension on both sides of the political aisle and the ideological aisle. And, you know, where do you find common ground on this? How can God ever resolve something like this? Well, I think he's beginning to show how that could happen. And Terry King, the chair of the board at Op Overwatch, is with us. He's also the founder of Saving Grace Ministries, designed to help people who have done time reacclimate in society. I don't know what's the phrasing you use for that kind of a thing?
Help people reintegrate to community.
Okay.
And deal with the transition from prison, long-term incarceration, to finding their meaningful, rightful place in society.
Well, you're a brother in Christ, and I know that your sin and my sin has been removed as far as the east is from the west, but technically speaking, you're an ex-offender. God doesn't know that because he forgot. He said, I remember your sins no more. But the state would say that. However, they allowed you to work with ex-offenders, which was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to go back to Canada, which was a miracle.
Miracle.
You represent parolees and offenders who shouldn't be meeting with law enforcement, but got permission from the state for that to happen. That's a miracle. And what happened when they finally came together in a meeting is nothing short of miraculous. So do we want, I guess we'll just jump in and let Steve tell this story. And by the way, Dave Buds, I would presume as the founder of Op Overwatch, a ministry to law enforcement, you were at this meeting as well, Dave, is that correct?
I was not. So I have not been at the first two because I feel that the Lord was calling Mark and Steve to lead this. And as you know, Neil, you don't always want the person who is the alleged boss in the room
yeah.
when you're trying to lead something your own way. So I will be there. I absolutely will begin to participate and can't wait. But these guys need to make it their own through the leading of the Lord first.
Okay. So God had other plans in mind about how this was going to go down. Officer Steve Ritchie, and where did you serve in law enforcement, Steve?
In the city of Lockport.
That's right. Okay. City of Lockport. You're at this meeting, and they're Reverend Terry King is going to be bringing in parolees, offenders, etc. Describe it as you remember it. What happened? Because there was some pretty amazing stuff that went down in this room.
Absolutely. So when I got there, I mean, I didn't really know too much. I knew Pastor Terry King, and first time I met Mark from Op Overwatch, and everybody else, I didn't know who was who. So I couldn't tell you who the parolees were, who the police officers were sitting there. But there was some apprehension in that room. There's no question. And we sang some songs. We had some prayer. And then the first person that spoke was one of the parolees who was a sex offender. And he gave his testimony, which was very powerful. And then I felt that the Holy Spirit touched me and said, now it's your time. And so I gave, I told my story as I pretty much said it here. And as I'm talking, just to my right of me, we're social distancing because of the COVID. 6 feet from me is a gentleman sitting there, and he's weeping as I'm telling my story. And so I thought that was, I guess I shouldn't say it's unusual. It can be an emotional story, but he was overtly weeping. And as I, you know, finished my story, he's volunteered to speak next. And what I heard was amazing to me. But he was served 44 years in prison for killing an Erie County Sheriff's deputy. Just got released a few weeks ago. And here I am sitting 6 feet away from him. And he's looking at me and he's asking me for forgiveness. He wanted forgiveness.
he's already received forgiveness from Christ, and he knew that. Mm-hmm. But he needed in his heart to receive forgiveness from law enforcement. And the fact that I was telling my story and that I survived, and I think in his mind he was wishing that the officer that he had shot had survived too. But he felt that law enforcement was a family too. He wanted to apologize to the family of the victim of the sheriff's deputy that he killed. And he wanted to apologize to law enforcement family. And he was very emotional. He was from Puerto Rico. He was a migrant worker I think he was 18 years old when he committed the crime. Sheriff's was investigating, I believe, a robbery or some stolen property, and he shot through a bedroom door and killed this deputy. And for me, as I'm looking at him, I got emotional because all these thoughts are going through my mind. Here's a person who killed a police officer, and he's sitting 6 feet away from me. He's asking for forgiveness, and I told him, I forgive you. But my forgiveness isn't important. It's the forgiveness that Christ gave you. But I'll give you that forgiveness for as a law enforcement member that you're seeking. And for me personally, it hit me personally also because I sort of saw as a surrogate the person who shot me. Now, the person who shot me ended up committing suicide. But I thought, well, maybe had he survived, would he, you know, 17 years later be sitting there apologizing to me too? There was the Holy Spirit was flowing through that room. There was no question about it. And absolutely, I had no problem sitting there telling him I forgive him. And it boggles my mind because 10 years ago, 20 years ago, would I have been able to sit there and listen to somebody tell me that they killed a police officer and now they want to be forgiven? Would I personally be able to forgive them? I don't know. I don't honestly couldn't tell you. But on that evening, absolutely. Absolutely.
So for the individual, you mentioned the individual that shot you committed suicide, probably on the night you were shot, I would guess. But did you harbor bitterness towards that individual at any point?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did for quite a few years. And even though eventually I forgave him in my prayers, I don't know if I truly did until that evening. When I released everything, and everything was released, and I, you know, I forgave him. And when I die and I go to heaven, if he's there, I will rejoice because he made it to heaven. If he, you know, if he asked for salvation before he pulled that trigger, God bless him. But that's the amazing thing. And I told Frankie was his name. I told him, I said, when you get to heaven, I said, and you see the officer that you shot there, besides Christ, nobody's going to be happier to see you than him. And that's because another soul was saved. And I wanted to let them know too. I'm sorry if I ramble, but no. I wanted to let them know that I'm not better than anybody else there. Without Christ, we're all sinners. We're all going to the same place. No matter what we've done in our lives, we're all going to go to that same place. But through Christ, we're all forgiven. And Jesus Christ wants us to forgive people too. And that hit home that day to offer that forgiveness. And that forgiveness is through Christ. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of Christ when you forgive, no matter what.
Right. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, meaning Jesus, we find redemption through his blood. We find the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness is something we all need because all of us have sinned and all of us fall short of God's glory. I know that you know these things, Officer Steve, but the reason I'm saying it is because at that very point, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level, and all of us stand in need of forgiveness. Doesn't matter if you're law enforcement or a perpetrator, an ex-offender, or somebody who's never committed a crime. All of us have sinned against a holy God in some fashion or another, and all of us stand guilty, which is where we find common ground, and that's the miracle of what happened. You guys experienced the common ground of the grace of God poured out into your lives. Pastor Terry, you were there. You saw this whole thing, so I want to give you a chance to describe it from your own perspective, because by the time you got home, your wife said, what happened? And you couldn't even talk. You couldn't even put it into words.
No, I couldn't, Neil. And even today, when people ask me to articulate what I witnessed, I've seen a lot of spiritual moments and experienced that in my own life when the Holy Spirit touched me and I was forgiven and I understood the true forgiveness of God at the foot of the cross. I truly understand that. But that night, you know, it's a moment when heaven met earth, and I knew what joy and peace and forgiveness truly was. It's not cultural. It's not political. It's not theological. It's simple grace. When we allow the Lord to move in our life in a way, almost childlike faith, that says, I forgive. I think about that night that Officer Steve came and those that were in the room. We didn't know one another, and many of us knew of one another. And there was Frankie. You know, he was targeted and directed by DOCS, the New York State Department of Corrections, to go to New York City for residence. And as the riots and the tensions were really rising in the city, someone in the high level of Department of Corrections made a decision to move him, transfer his release to Buffalo, not to New York. And he had only arrived a few days before to our facility. We didn't even have a file or know what his background was. And how godly ironic it was that he was seated right next to Steve.
And he did
42 years
in prison for killing an officer.
Mm-hmm.
Met Jesus, found forgiveness, but wanted the forgiveness of law enforcement and Officer Steve Ritchie was able to grant that. So I put it in quotes, but to express, you know, it says in James, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed, that there's something really to the tangible nature of one believer being able to forgive another. It's the forgiveness was sealed in Christ's blood, but we get to express it. I think that's what I was trying to say.
It's a lifter of our souls. It's a lifting of our burdens. Right. And it was a moment when we all knew that our burdens were being carried by one another, that we weren't alone.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Steve was loved. Frankie was loved. They were accepted. And God said, we are all together in this, one to another. And there's no labels. There's no judgment. Man, we're all in this together. And we're going to leave this room tonight with a deeper, abiding love that we are difference makers and our lives have meaning and purpose. Mm-hmm. And each of us have a call to impact the world around us.
We sure do. And we're going to talk about that because that's where we're going next. How does God want to use this? And what is he saying about what comes next? Officer Steve Ritchie is with us. He was a cop in the Lockport area, shot and almost killed, literally flatlined four times the night he was shot. God spared his life, and he was able to be a part of this special meeting some 20 years after his shooting. God's up to some pretty miraculous things. Reverend Terry King still with us. We lost Brett Larson. He had to move on to somewhere else, so we will continue. Dave Buds of Op Overwatch is still with us as well, and we'll continue with more of NBL in just a moment. Thanks for being a part of NBL today. If you're just joining us, it's going to be impossible to recap what we've been talking about here, but we're going to put this on our audio vault under media on our website, WDCXradio.com. It's a conversation here about what God is doing in and through his church, and in this particular area, how he's dealing with both law enforcement and parolees, offenders, in finding forgiveness and healing, in reaching out to one another and experiencing Jesus at the foot of the cross. It's unprecedented what we're talking about. A variety of individuals whose names you would know have been involved in this, but it was a God thing that it ever happened in the first place. Reverend Terry King of Saving Grace Ministries, who also serves as chairman of the board for Op Overwatch, is with us in studio. Dave Buds, who's the founder of Op Overwatch, a ministry to law enforcement, is with us. Steve Ritchie, a law enforcement, a former member of law enforcement who was shot and ultimately almost killed, was a part of a meeting with ex-offenders, one of whom had killed a police officer, and they were able to express forgiveness one to another. It was miraculous, nothing short of miraculous, that's for sure. But I asked the question, what comes next? And I don't know, I would like to know from each of you what you have to say about what you think God might be saying regarding what comes next. But Pastor Terry, let me just start with you, because you're the one who first called me to alert me to what was going on. And it just sounded unbelievable what God is stirring in the hearts of the church here in Western New York to be able to see this type of thing continue.
Well, I think true miracles, because we look at the meeting and gathering of law enforcement and parolees as a miracle, no doubt, the healing moments, others that are being drawn. And I think David Buds early on said it best, that I think we're going to look back several years from now and look at the gatherings that will grow, and not just in Buffalo, but beyond Buffalo and other cities, because other cities are now reaching out, wondering how they can replicate something like this and begin to do this. Mm-hmm. And we're working with them. But after this, Jerry from the chapel had called me to actually ask what had taken place. And because people were texting him and he was learning about that evening. Mm-hmm. And he asked me to come in and do a video to really speak to what took place and to encourage others in the church community about what can happen at the foot of the cross. And I did that. And the chapel aired that video during one of their Sunday services in early August. And a dear friend, a very, very dear friend, was watching in Florida. And she called the next day to say it deeply touched her and moved her. And someone who had supported our work for over 20 years. Very personal, because she actually was instrumental in leading me to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And she offered to do a commercial about being one at the foot of the cross, about unity in the Church of Buffalo. And we talked about it, and I really didn't feel that it was me, that it was bigger than me, and it was bigger than what took place. And I asked her to allow a couple days to pray about it, and I met with Pastor Jerry. And after a few hours of conversation and really talking it through, praying it through, and one of the administrators for the chapel joining us, John, who came into the room and who spoke after listening for a few minutes to our hearts, he said, another way to live. It's another way to live. Mm-hmm. And we found us looking at each other saying Ephesians 2, chapters 14, 15, and 16, about finding our peace and unity at the foot of the cross. And we had a vision of a commercial, gathering 40, 50 pastors, 10 reading from that scripture, and showing and demonstrating what it was to be from all tribes, nations, cultures, and beliefs to mm-hmm. join and to lock arms at the foot of the cross. We took the old rugged cross from our firehouse church that was there the night that we gathered. We marched that down to Niagara Square, and on that day we recorded a film, and we repeated that scripture, and it begins airing on a major marketing campaign of what unity can be and what God is leading us to do at the foot of the cross on November 3rd.
And that all people are invited to come, and yet the common reality is that the reconciliation we need with God and with each other is found in what Christ accomplished for us at Calvary. It isn't just that we get together and decide to be nicer to one another. Jesus has to be central in that occasion, or nothing's going to happen.
Oh, amen. And when we find that we are all one at the foot of the cross, our differences seem to melt away. Our learned behavior of differences seem to be confronted, because now we can self-reflect and say, how do I act better to love my neighbor? How do I get beyond the differences that polarized us? And how do I forgive? And you know, we found that to be true. And to the donor and our friend, came back and said, look, I'd like to sponsor and fund this commercial to air throughout Western New York. This is a major event that's going to take place, because this message is going to saturate the Buffalo market for 4 weeks, mm-hmm. beginning in early November. And then our partnership church decided, well, you know what? We're going to build out a website. We're going to point people to what it is to know Christ and what it is to have another way to live, and have videos and testimony and opportunities for others to be able to really understand the power of Jesus and what it means to be one.
It's so powerful what God's been orchestrating here, and we don't have a lot of time left, but I'm actually going to ask Officer Steve a really hard question. I know that Pastor Terry, you'll be willing to jump in and help respond as well, and maybe Dave Buds, since you've been involved in law enforcement. But Officer Steve, God had been working on your heart for a time. I mean, it was 20 years after you got shot or thereabouts that this meeting occurred, and there were times when you were harboring bitterness towards other people. God had worked in your life, and he was working in your life, and you were willing when you walked in that room to see what God wanted you to do. It's possible in the future somebody comes to one of these meetings just to be kind to a friend. Sure, I'll come. I'll be a part of it. But they don't have the same demeanor. They've not allowed God to bring them to the place where they're ready to forgive just yet. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about that, because we would love to see other members of law enforcement, other offenders, respond similarly to the way that you did, along with the fellow who spent 42 years in prison. It was miraculous. But we can't manufacture that in the flesh, so just help me understand what your thoughts are about what God might want to do in the future, and how we can see him work in similar ways because a lot of it has to do with the willingness of parties on both sides of this aisle to say yes to Jesus. So, I don't know. Steve, your thoughts about that? Do we have Steve on line two? Okay, Steve, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, I hit the wrong button here. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. All right. So I think if you put 100 secular officers, 100 secular non-Christian offenders in a room, and you redid that evening, there would be no forgiveness in that room at all. There would be some hatefulness. There would be some spitefulness. But if you put 100 Christian, 100 Christian parolees, you're not going to get 100% either. Because it's a journey you have to take, and you have to open your heart first, because that's the most important thing. You have to open that heart and be willing to let the Holy Spirit in there and take control and say, it's something that overcame me in that supernatural way in that room that night. I can't explain it. And I encourage, and that's part of my thing, is to encourage officers to go there. Just experience it. You don't have to say a word. Just sit there and listen, because you'll hear all these miracles. You'll hear a testimony that will change your heart. And we, at our Bible study, we talked about that, where guys were having trouble saying, I don't think I could do that. And it's just like, you'll get there. And I try to encourage you'll get there. Mm-hmm. Because at one point I was there and I got here. So it's just letting your heart open up, continue to experience it, continue to dive into the gospel. And Christ will lead you that way. Yep. It may not happen overnight. My journey took a long time to get where I'm at. And that's my hope for everybody, is that I hope this goes all over the country. I hope people give it a chance and allow it to, because that's the answer. Our problems in this country today, no matter what you want to say, the answer is Jesus Christ. It's a simple answer. But we look for the complicated solutions.
Amen.
But the simple answer is Jesus Christ. He will solve all our problems. I that's what I pray for. So that's my sort of long
No, it's so well said, and I appreciate you sharing that from your heart. All right, we're going to catch up. When we come back, got just a couple minutes left. A final comment or two from Dave Buds of Op Overwatch and Terry King as well. And, of course, you've been listening there to Officer Steve Ritchie. God's doing amazing stuff. This website, by the way, anotherwaytolive.com, is going to go public, I believe, on November 4th, the day after the elections. We'll talk about that as well when NBL returns.
Saying no to worry and yes to trust, or Worship Wednesday for short.
Literally down to just our final couple of minutes, so we got to move quick. But let me thank Officer Dave Buds. He's a federal law enforcement agent, actually, the founder of Op Overwatch, a ministry to law enforcement. Dave, you've been listening quietly like a little church mouse in the background for a good portion of today's conversation. Of course, you were on a lot earlier, but your thoughts about what God might want to do from here, and what do you sense God is saying about all this?
Well, it's been an honor again to be on and talk with you, Neil. And it's simple. It's what we began with, and it's what we'll forever continue with, that law enforcement officers are wrapped up in their identity. The identity that the badge brings can be crushing to an officer because they get swallowed up by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's what eventually can lead an officer to suicide. It causes isolation. It causes cynicism. Well, cynicism first, which leads to isolationism. And this is the problem. This is not only the problem that leads them to difficulty relating to their family and their friends in life, but it's also a problem that encompasses the nation. When people look at law enforcement and they see law enforcement in a different light, they have a perspective on law enforcement, whether good or bad. That's cynicism on their part. But what we also see within law enforcement, I can speak to this. Anybody working law enforcement can speak to it. Cynicism settles in. It creeps in, and it creeps in from an early time period. And I think of the parable in Luke, and I'll just read you one passage. It says, the Pharisee, and I'm going to change that word, the officer, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, that I'm not an extortioner, that I'm not unjust, that I'm not an adulterer, or I'm not even like this criminal or this felon here. When cynicism settles in the law enforcement, it creates a perspective of us against them. And the problem with it in law enforcement is we begin to view the world as the criminal element. and it's hard to develop those bonds and those relationships that we need. And the only way to do that is to get a new heart, to get a new heart in Christ, and an understanding of your identity in Christ, that there's an identity in our Creator, that the badge serves. And this identity is like living in a closet your whole life and finally opening the door and seeing that there is a whole world out there in front of them that God can do in their family, in their job, as ambassadors on the street, that just opens up health and wellness in an officer's heart. And that is our heartbeat. That is what has driven us from day one and will forever drive us, that we will present multiple opportunities for all law enforcement to understand this beautiful identity that is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's our drive. And that is forever what we'll do. And I'm thankful for all of these people who have jumped on board to help us.
All right. Here's what I feel like I need to do to wrap up this conversation. This is what the Lord's speaking to my heart. I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 6. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor abusers, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And Paul says to the Corinthian church, "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." All of us, before coming to faith in Christ, were guilty of sin, separated from God and deserving of death. But Jesus stepped in to rescue us from our sin. Pastor Terry, there was a time in your life where you spent time in prison, but God delivered you from that situation. He brought you to faith in Christ. You're no longer the same man. You're a different person in Jesus. But I am going to ask you to pray on behalf of offenders who need to forgive members of law enforcement that they feel targeted them or whatever, who need to come to a place of really letting Jesus be Lord over everything. That's what you did, and God has transformed your life. You've experienced it. So I'm going to ask you to pray briefly, if you don't mind, for members of law enforcement, and ask you, Steve, if you don't mind, to pray for offenders so that God would continue the work that he's begun and allow whatever he has planned to continue for his glory. There's going to be, you know, this website going live on the day after the elections, anotherwaytolive.com. There's going to be media and other things supporting what God is saying here. But I believe he wants to work in individual hearts. That's the place the Holy Spirit always starts. So as we wrap this thing up, you know, Steve, in light of what God's doing in this entire thing, would you pray primarily for offenders as a police officer, and Terry, as a man of God, a pastor, a brother in Christ who at one time was an offender who's been set free by Jesus, would you pray for law enforcement? And we just have to keep it brief, but I'm going to ask Steve, if you don't mind, let's start with you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for what he's doing here.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray to you that what happened at that meeting that night spreads throughout this country through offenders in this country to come to you to redeem themselves through your blood, through your glory, Jesus Christ. I ask that to understand their identity, to understand who you are and how their salvation can be achieved even after all their wrongdoings. In your glory, God, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Pastor Terry?
Father God, we just come before you to the throne, to the foot of the cross. For all those in blue, Lord, that give their lives each day, Lord, that they are not alone, that they are loved. Wherever they sit, wherever they stand, wherever they are right now, that your Spirit would come upon them, in them, and move them. That they would know that you are the risen God, the man, above all. In the name of Jesus, their Lord, their Savior, their life can have meaning and purpose. Yes, their dignity will be restored. Their purpose of life will be made known, and their troubles and burdens will be laid down. And Lord, we pray now that you will bring others, men and women, along their sides to proclaim the gospel to them in ways that they have never known or seen, but an open heart to receive the word of Christ. And Lord, we pray that you will use us mightily to reach those that are troubled, that find their identity is lost, that they are in dire despair, considering suicide or others to be harmed in many ways and facets that we don't even comprehend, Lord, that there will be an intervention, an intercessor right now that will touch them and they will be healed in Jesus' name. And we pray for peace in our land.
Yes, God.
That can only come when we are one at the foot of the cross. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Huge, guys. This whole website thing goes live on November 4th. AnotherWayToLive.com. We urge you to check it out on November 4th. Put it in your phone or whatever. Set an alarm to alert you. We'll be talking about it, of course. You'll hear more about it. Dave Buds, if somebody wants to know more about Op Overwatch, they're involved in law enforcement, they're intrigued by what you're saying, how can somebody connect with you, Dave?
Yeah, thank you. So we, community involvement, you don't have to be law enforcement. Anybody that wants to be part of what we're doing, if you're curious, opoverwatchministry@gmail.com. Just shoot us an email. We'll get back to you. If you want to know more specifics and details, if you're interested in being a donor, just go to opoverwatch.org, opoverwatch.org, and there's plenty of opportunities to hear about everything we're doing, watch some videos, and see how you can connect or help out financially.
Amen. And Pastor Terry, thanks for the incredible work you've been doing at Saving Grace Ministries and Firehouse Church, and there's way more to talk about. We'll have you back again sometime soon. Officer Steve Ritchie, God bless you. Thanks for sharing your testimony. Thanks for being a part of this with us. And our thanks to Brett Larson for joining us earlier as well. So there you have it.
Thank you.
The spotlight about what God is doing in and through his church. He is actively at work and performing miracles. Praise God.